Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are starting, we kind of started last Sunday, but we're in a sermon series on last things. We're looking at the last things that the Lord went through in His last week of His life and His ministry. And we're going to be in Mark's Gospel for the next 9 Sundays. And we're going to conclude on a climactic Sunday with the resurrection. So we're going to be looking at those events and those things in the Lord's life in His last week here on earth before the crucifixion and resurrection. So we're in the moving towards Easter. Amen. And so we're in Mark chapter 11. And when you find Mark chapter 11, I tell you what, turn left in your Bible. I'm sorry. To Zechariah 9:9, I want to read this prophecy where this message is coming from. Zechariah is the next to last book in your Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9, next to last book in your Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, we've got the verses in front of you on the screens. Let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. And then we'll go, after this, we'll head back to Mark 11. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Roy Gregory, ask God to bless the word today, would you, brother?
Almighty God, we pray and pray for you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you, God, that you're able to send one to our house. Pray, God, the Holy Spirit might be here in a mighty way. God, we pray for once making earlier. God, we know that we don't know many times your word says we don't have because we don't ask. God, we ask you today to fill this place with your spirit. God, anybody needs to make a decision and not be a victim of that decision before they hear today.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I meant to say in our prayer time, in way of praise, David Fry is sitting right over here. He had some heart surgery this week, and I was really concerned about him and piled into my car after a funeral and ran up there. And I got up there, and David's laying in bed. He'd already been through the surgery, and they'd put a kind of rerouted a stent, and he's sitting there talking to me. And Carol asked me, she said, would you please take him home with you? Amen. We love you, brother. God's good, isn't he? And all the time. All right, we're in the last week of the Lord's ministry. I'm calling this sermon series Last Things. We're looking at last things, things that happened in the Lord's last week while he was here. And today, we're looking at what we call the triumphal entry. This is normally what we do on Palm Sunday, right? But we're going to look at that this morning. That's kind of introducing the last things that happened to the Lord in his last week here. And the setting for this is taking place during Passover week. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jewish pilgrims in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This is the great emancipation festival that the Jews were celebrating every year at Passover. And there's thousands of people in town, and sacrificial lambs were bleeding and everywhere out in the streets of Jerusalem and just outside of town in the fields of Bethlehem. There are children playing in the streets. The priests are serving feverishly at the temple, getting ready for their great holiday. And families are coming together. And Josephus, the great Jewish second century historian, tells us probably there were over 2 million people in the holy city during Passover week. 2 million folks. And we think we got a lot of folks here in Clarksville. Amen. And so it's in this setting that Jesus chose to reveal himself to the Jewish people and to fulfill this prophecy over in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And so normally, you know, Jesus kind of downplayed the things that he was doing and don't tell anybody what you just saw today. He'd heal folks and say, just keep this between us. But here today, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus knew it was now time to present himself as the Jewish Messiah and Savior to his people. And he's standing on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, just east, the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives. It looks down over the city of Jerusalem, over the holy city. And as the morning begins, Jesus is making preparations to enter the city and to make this unpublicized announcement, if you will, of just exactly who he is and what he came here to do. And so there are several things that we see in this preparation time and in this setting and in this triumphal entry, and I want to just cover four of them this morning. The first thing we see is his deity. Look at verse 11, chapter 11 of Mark's Gospel in verse 1. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to them, "Go into the village opposite to you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied there." Now that's the foal of a donkey, okay? "On which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." And so we see his deity in this triumphal entry. He's given instructions to his disciples, and he said, they're in the little village of Bethphage, which was just right across the street almost from Bethany. And he said, "I want you to go to the village next door to us, and you're going to find a foal of a donkey, and I want you to untie that donkey, that unridden donkey, that wild donkey, and bring him to me because I have need of him." And he says, "When the owners ask you what's going on, you just tell them that the Lord has need of the donkey, and I'll get the donkey back to them when I'm finished with him." And so the Lord predicted, and the disciples went, and everything happened just like Jesus said it was. He predicted everything that was going to happen in the last week of his life, which tells me this, that he's asserting his deity now, and there isn't any details of his life that he doesn't know about. And he's in control of them, and he's in charge of them. He knew where that donkey was, and he knew where the donkey's foal was, and he knew who the owners of that donkey were, and he said, "I've got it all taken care of. You just go do what I'm telling you to do." Hallelujah. Jesus knew about all the details of his life, and can I just stop right here and tell you all, he knows all the details of your life. And he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's happening in your heart of hearts. Jesus knows all about your struggle. He knows everything that there is to know. And bless God, he can handle whatever it is you're going through. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Yes, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "He is upholding all things by the word of his power." He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the little bitty babies in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I don't understand it all, but He's fully man and He's fully God. And He's able to take care of anything and everything that we go through. Is there anybody in here that'd like to give God some praise? Amen. Hallelujah! And so we see His deity. And then secondly, we see His authority. Now, just a few hours before this had happened, do you know what Jesus had done in the little village of Bethany? He'd gone to a funeral of His best friend, of His best buddy, Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus showed up at the tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And a dead man came walking, who'd been dead 4 days, came walking out of the grave. Jesus can do anything. So that had just happened. And so if that had happened in Clarksville, do you think anybody would be following this resurrection guy around? Yeah. And so there's a crowd developing, and people are following the Lord, and in this huge crowd. And then His words to the disciples, He said, when you find that colt, look at verse 3 again. He says, if anyone says to you, why you're doing this, say, the Lord has need of him. The Lord has need of him. Isn't it interesting that Jesus calls Himself Lord? He usually describes Himself as Son of Man, that kind of thing. But He calls Himself Lord here. And I think that's more than interesting. Now, the Scripture also tells us there in verse 2 that this donkey had never been ridden. The foal of this donkey, this colt, had never been ridden. Have y'all ever tried to get on the back of a wild donkey? Some of y'all live with wild donkeys, but we won't go there. But I remember one time, CW, your daughter, while we were dating, carried me out to Granny and Big Daddy's farm. And somebody got the bright idea of riding a bunch of horses. And of course, the horse they put me on hadn't been ridden in months. And I got on her, and she was skittish, you know. And then everybody mounted up. And about the time the last person got on the horse, there was about 5 or 6 of us, I think. Well, my horse took off like a bullet. And across the pasture, and there's a fence out there. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, she's going to run right through this fence or throw me into this fence or try to kill me. And she's just going for it. And so I'm preparing, you know, for her either to jump the fence or run into the fence. And so as we get up to the fence, you know, I'm just leaning back, you know. And then she comes to a dead stop, and somehow I stayed on. And then when that didn't work for her, you know what she did? She took off down the fence line. You got all these low-hanging branches over the way. And so they're trying to hit, you know. But somehow, by the providence and the power of Almighty God, I made it back to the barn and got down off that silly horse. You don't get on the back of a horse that hadn't been ridden lately, and you sure don't get on the back of a donkey who's never been ridden. True story. I guess she thought she'd get rid of me before we got started. I don't know. But when Jesus sat down on the back of that donkey didn't bite or buck or bray or do anything. You know why? Because He not only sits on the back of donkeys, He's sitting on the throne of the universe. He's Lord of lords. And when the people saw what was happening, they saw this as a miraculous thing, and they began to shout, and they began to praise God. And the crowd just kind of wound up, oh my, here's this one that we've been looking for. And some of them, I'm sure, remembered the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9, and they think, here comes our king. There's another truth here that really jumped out at me, and it's not really about, I guess it is about His authority. But when Jesus told the two disciples there in verse 2, he said, "The Lord, you tell them the Lord has need of it, and tell them immediately he'll send it here." In other words, he said, "When I get through with the donkey, you tell the owners I'll send him back just the way that we got him. I'll bring him back to you." You know what that says to me? Anytime you give anything to Jesus, he'll give it back to you better than what it was before. Having said that, let me say this. If you'll put whatever it is that you put in the hands of Jesus, whatever it is you give him, he'll take it, he'll cleanse it, he'll sanctify it, he'll bless it, and he will use it and then return it to you better than it was before. And by the way, if God can use a donkey, tell somebody he can use you. If God can use a donkey, he'll use anybody. He even spoke through a donkey way over in the Old Testament. And hallelujah, he's still speaking through donkeys today. God can use anybody. And whatever it is that you have, whether it's carpentry skills, whether it's singing, whether it's teaching, whether it's working with children, whether it's putting a smile on your face and greeting people back here at the door, whether it's being out on the parking lot and opening doors for folks, whether it's giving blood, you do it all for the glory of God. You just give it to him and let him use it for his honor. And he'll bless it. And you'll be blessed because of it. You can't beat serving God. He's so awesome. And so, here's a third thing that we see. Not only his deity and his authority, but we see his humility. Look at verse... Let me just start there at verse 4. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now, as Jesus is descending down the slopes of the Mount of Olives, as he's coming down that mountain on the back of this unridden donkey, and he's got coats for a saddle, and people are waving palm branches at him. And I mean, this is kind of, I'm sure I've tried to put myself in the shoes of those Roman soldiers who are along the way and down at the gates of Jerusalem. You know what? I imagine they laughed. You know why they would laugh? Because this is not the normal processional of a king or a great general. Normally what would happen is this. A Roman general or a commanding king would come into town riding either on the back of a great white horse or in a beautiful chariot that was being pulled by beautiful horses, and prisoners of war would be chained to the chariot wheels. The soldiers would be in behind lifting their swords and waving flags. Trumpets would be blaring and people would be praising and shouting. And now here you have this guy coming down the hill on a donkey on the back of a young foal. And people are shouting. And so I'm sure it really caused some humor among the Roman soldiers and among others. But there's more here in this passage of Scripture than really meets the eyes. As people, as the folks, you see, they're understanding what's going on here. They know that Jesus is now choosing this day to present himself to the Jewish people as their long-awaited king, as their Messiah, as their great Savior. They get that, I think. But they had other plans for Jesus. They wanted him to be a military Messiah. They wanted him to take Israel back to prominence and power and restore the greatness of Israel. That's what kind of the king that they're looking for. But when he came the first time, that's not the kind of king he was for the Jewish people. But they do recognize what's going on. And they start shouting, "Hosanna! Here he comes! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's Zechariah 9:9. They get it. Hosanna! You know what that means? Save now. Save us now. That's what that means. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they understand. I think in the Lord, in popularity's eyes, this is probably his greatest day before the crucifixion and the resurrection. So far as being popular. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And then over in Luke's gospel, you know, you've always, how many of you know, you've always got a cold water committee somewhere. You know? I mean, it's at fever pitch. People are praising and shouting and giving glory to God. And all of a sudden, the religious leader, you know, religion will kill you. It'll wear you out. And the Pharisees come up to the Lord and they said, "Tell your followers to stop this stuff. Rebuke them. Scold them. Tell them to quit it. Tell them to shut up." And you know what Jesus said to them? "If they keep silent, even the rocks will cry out. They'll praise me." As I sit here and look around at us this morning, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of His people. And I just come here today to tell you, I'm not going to let something or someone steal my praise for the Lord. You know, I've been a Baptist, I guess, all my life. But we Baptists could take a little cue from some other denominational groups. We need to learn how to praise God. We really do. We praise God in our service and that kind of thing. But I see y'all at the football games and the basketball games, and some of y'all are rabid dogs. And you come in here and I'm not going to miss today as an opportunity. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to exalt him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to praise him. I want to live for his glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. How many of you understand this truth? It's easier to calm down a fanatic than it is to raise a dead corpse. Let that sink in. We need to learn how to praise God. And I'm not trying to stir something up. I'm not trying to get you to be something you're not. But bless God, I know y'all. And I see you out in the community. And that same spirit that's in you ought to come out every now and then for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, half of you are already mad at me, so it's okay. Let's look at verse 11. You'll want to see this. We also see his scrutiny, and this is where I wanted to get. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So he's come through the gates. Okay? Y'all with me? So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, as the Lord entered the city, it says that he looked around at all things. And he went in, he looked at the city, and then he went into the temple and looked around there. He's examining things. He's looking at things. He's checking it out. Now, I want everybody to go, just turn right in your Bibles to Luke's gospel, Luke 19. And I want you to see this, because this is an eyewitness account of Luke's gospel. And I want you to see this. Luke 19, verse 41. Now, as Luke 19, verse 41. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, I'm getting there. Now, as he drew near, Luke 19, 41. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city. He's looking around. And look what his response was. And he wept over it. Verse 42, if you had known even you, especially in this day, in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus, as he went in, as he came down off the mountain, and he looked at the city, and then as he came in through the gates, he's looking at the people, and he's weeping. Big crocodile tears had welled up in his eyes, and they're falling down on his face, and he's crying and he's weeping. Why? Because he's looking at the condition of his city. The very people that he came to save, that are shouting Hosanna today, just a few days from then, would shout, crucify him. He knew their hearts. And he looked around the city. And he looked at their spiritual condition. And he saw folks that would not receive him as Lord and Savior. And then he went into the temple. And he looked around in there. I'll just say two things in the way of application. What does Jesus see when he sees our city? He's Lord of the universe now. He's at the right hand of the throne of Almighty God right now. What does he see when he looks at Clarksville? Here's what I think he sees. I think he sees young people who are being destroyed by drugs and alcohol, and he weeps. I think he looks at businessmen and businesswomen whose lives are empty and meaningless, and he weeps. I think he looks at single mamas who are struggling to raise their kids and how hard it is, and he weeps. I think he looks at sick folks who are suffering, and he weeps. And I think he looks at those that are dying and those that have already passed away in the funeral homes, and he weeps because they're in hell this morning. Brothers and sisters, hell is the default destination for everybody, not heaven. Jesus said, few people will find the road that leads to life. That's what Jesus said. Hell is a real place. And I think Jesus is weeping because he went to our hell for us. Hello? And then he went into the temple after he looked at the city and he looked around. Can I just tell you, he is right here today. His spirit is right here with us. In here and in here. And he's looking at Second Mile Church today. And he's coming up and down these aisles. He's moving through the pews. We've got chairs. And he's moving through the chairs. And he's stopping at every single chair. And he's looking into your heart. He's looking. What does he see in your spirit of spirits? He's examining everyone here today. What does he see? What does he think? Does he walk away happy with your condition? Is he smiling? Or is he sad? Does he weep? Well, really, there's only two people that can answer that question. That's you and him. And right now, what I'd like us to do is just examine our hearts. As we move towards Easter, let's get this issue settled once and for all. Let's quit playing religious things and let's be in a full-fledged relationship with Christ Jesus, living for His honor and His praise and His glory. Would you just bow your head with me? Where are you today? Spiritually speaking, where are you? What does Jesus see when He looks deep in your spirit and in your heart? I know we're not perfect, but is He number one in your life? I mean, is He the priority of your life? Is He number one? Do you understand who He is? Have you crowned Him as King of Kings in your heart of hearts? God brought you here today to hear this message. And He's speaking to many of you here this morning. And He wants to draw you closer to Him. And some of you need to be saved. You're not on your way to heaven and you know it. Well, here's what you folks need to do. None of us deserve it, but Jesus paid the price for all your sin. And if you would, by faith today, just ask Him to forgive you of all your sin, and you believe, just tell Him you believe Him, He's the Son of God, and ask Him to forgive you, and by faith, surrender to Him as the only means, as the only way of your salvation. He will save you today. And He'll come down the Mount of Olives, spiritually speaking, with a grin on His face a mile wide. And He will receive you. And the rest of us that are here, you know it, and God knows it. You're not where you used to be with the Lord. Who moved? It wasn't Him. God's looking at your heart today. And He doesn't want half of it. He wants all of it. And Jesus gave His all for us. And we ought to be willing to give our all for Him.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.